Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at what it means to boast in Christ
Okay.
and how that kind of challenges our typical ideas of pride or even just boasting in general.
Right.
We'll be using a lecture from Dr. Daniel K. Darko.
Oh, yeah.
He's a well-respected biblical scholar.
Mm-hmm.
And he really breaks this down in his analysis of Philippians 3.7, 4.1.
Interesting.
And what's really cool about this passage is it comes from one of Paul's letters written when he was in prison.
Ah, the prison epistles.
Yeah, exactly. This is the call of the prison epistles.
Yeah.
And this is actually session 15 of Dr. Darko's larger lecture series.
Wow. So we're jumping right in.
Yeah, we're jumping right into the deep end here.
Okay. I'm excited.
So one of the things that's so fascinating about this passage is it reveals a huge shift in Paul's thinking.
Right.
Like before he encountered Christ, he was a devout Jew, a member of the Pharisees.
From a very well-respected group.
Yeah, exactly. They were known for being super strict about religious law. So he had every reason in the world to boast about his lineage, his education, his status.
Absolutely.
But then after his conversion experience, he totally redefines what he thinks is valuable.
Interesting.
It's like a complete 180.
Yeah.
He goes from listing all these impressive accomplishments to calling them rubbish.
Right.
Or even stronger than that. He compares them to things like, well, let's just say waste products.
Yeah, it's pretty vivid imagery there.
Oh, yeah. So, like, he compares his former life of privilege and achievement to excrement.
Wow.
To dung. Even unwanted food that's only fit for dogs.
It's pretty shocking language.
Yeah, it really makes you stop and think, what could possibly make someone disregard everything they once valued so highly?
I know.
Like, what could be more valuable than all those worldly achievements?
Right. And that's exactly what Paul's getting at.
Yeah.
He's not saying that our achievements are bad inherently.
Okay.
Instead, he's really just highlighting the value of knowing Christ personally.
Yeah.
Like, discovering this hidden treasure. That just makes everything else pale in comparison.
So it's not about saying that we should just throw away all ambition or striving for excellence.
Right.
It's more about recognizing that there's something even more valuable out there.
Exactly.
Even more fulfilling than anything the world has to offer.
It really makes you think, what do you value most in your life?
Yeah.
How does that compare to the experience of knowing Christ?
That is such a powerful question.
It is.
And what I think is even more intriguing is that Paul doesn't present himself as someone who's already made it.
Right.
Like someone who's reached peak spiritual perfection.
Mm-hmm.
He acknowledges that it's an ongoing journey, this whole knowing Christ thing.
Yeah.
That it's a process of continual growth and transformation.
It's a process for sure.
And to kind of illustrate this journey, he uses imagery that would really hit home for his audience in Philippi.
Right.
Which, remember, was a Roman colony, so they were super familiar with military campaigns and athletic competitions. So he talks about pressing on towards the goal, strain forward to what lies ahead.
Yeah.
Striving for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's active. It's challenging.
Yeah.
It requires effort.
It's not passive.
No, it's not just about passively accepting Christ and then coasting along.
Right.
It's about actively pursuing him.
Right.
Pushing ourselves to grow deeper in our faith.
Yeah.
Almost like an athlete training for a marathon or a soldier preparing for battle.
Oh, definitely. I love that analogy.
Yeah. Have you ever felt that kind of drive in your life?
Uh-huh.
That burning desire to achieve something truly meaningful?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the kind of passion Paul wants us to tap into in our spiritual lives.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling us to cultivate a heavenly mindset.
Ooh, now that sounds interesting.
What exactly does that mean, to have a heavenly mindset?
Well, it's about intentionally shifting your focus away from the temporary things in this world.
Okay.
You know, the fleeting things, and really setting your sights on the eternal. Imagine for a moment that your true citizenship is in heaven, right here, right now.
Okay.
How might that change your perspective? How might that change your priorities?
That's incredible to live as though our ultimate destination is heaven.
Yeah.
Even while we're still here on earth.
Yeah.
It really makes you wonder, what would that even look like?
Well, it would definitely involve aligning your values with God's values.
Hmm?
Seeking his will in everything that you do. And making choices that reflect that eternal perspective.
So it's about recognizing that the things of this world, they're going to fade away.
Right.
But the things of God, those are going to last forever.
Exactly. It's about making wise investments.
Yeah.
Not just with our money or time,
mm-hmm.
but with our very lives.
Yeah. Investing in things that will have eternal significance.
That's it.
Wow.
And in contrast to those who are living with that heavenly mindset,
right.
Dr. Darko highlights the enemies of the cross.
Okay. Enemies of the cross.
Yeah. These are the people who prioritize worldly pleasures and status over their relationship with Christ.
So they're driven by their belly, as he says.
Yes.
They're willing to compromise their faith for the sake of earthly gain.
Sadly, yes.
Almost as if they've forgotten what truly matters.
Right.
Lost sight of that surpassing worth of knowing Christ.
Completely.
And they might even boast about things that are actually shameful in God's eyes.
Yeah, it's a stark contrast to Paul's message of boasting in Christ.
Right.
Where our worth and identity are found in something infinitely greater.
Than anything this world has to offer.
Than anything this world has to offer.
And in the face of these competing worldviews, Paul urges his readers, and by extension us, to stand firm in the Lord.
Yeah.
He closes chapter 3 of Philippians with these incredibly powerful words. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved.
That's so powerful.
I know. You can almost hear the emotion in his voice, the depth of his love and concern for the Philippians.
Right. And it's not just an abstract command.
No, it's a call to action. He's using such vivid language, comparing this stance of faith to a soldier holding their ground in battle.
Right.
An athlete pushing through exhaustion to reach the finish line.
It's so powerful.
It's a reminder that the Christian life requires courage.
Yeah.
Resilience. Yeah. And unwavering commitment.
And in the context of this unwavering commitment,
yeah,
that's where Paul introduces this really intriguing concept of the crown.
Okay, the crown.
He calls the Philippians his crown, but he doesn't explicitly define what that crown is.
So it leaves us wondering, what exactly is this crown that Paul's referring to?
Yeah.
What does it represent, and how does it relate to this idea of boasting in Christ?
It's a great question.
It is.
And it's something we'll explore further in the next part of our deep dive.
Oh, I can't wait.
But for now, I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
What are the things that bring you joy and strength in your own life?
Mm-hmm.
What do you consider to be your crown? And how does that relate to the prize that Paul's striving for?
I love that. That's a great question to ponder.
It is.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with part two of our deep dive into boasting in Christ.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
So we left off talking about this mysterious crown.
Right, right.
That Paul mentions. It's such a powerful image.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really spell out exactly what he means by it.
No, he doesn't. And that's where Dr. Darko's analysis, I think, gets really, really interesting.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, on one level, he suggests that the crown could represent the Philippians themselves.
Oh, interesting.
Think about it. Their faithfulness, their growth, the way that they supported Paul's ministry.
Right.
All of that brought him immense joy.
So they're almost like a living, breathing crown.
Yeah.
That Paul was building through his ministry.
Exactly. And that makes you think about your own life.
Mm-hmm.
How are you investing in others? Are you helping to build up those around you?
Right.
Encouraging them in their faith. Maybe those people are your crown too.
That's a beautiful way to think about it.
It is.
But Dr. Darko doesn't stop there.
No.
He also suggests that the crown could refer to something even bigger.
Right.
Something beyond this earthly life.
Something more.
Yeah.
He points out that in other parts of the New Testament, the crown is often used as a symbol of the ultimate reward that awaits believers in heaven.
So it's possible that Paul's using this word crown.
Yeah.
To kind of encompass both the present joy of seeing the Philippians grow.
Yes.
And the future hope of being reunited with them and with Christ in eternity.
It's like a double crown.
It is. It's like a double crown.
The joy here and now.
Yeah.
And the anticipation of even greater rewards later.
It's beautiful.
It is. And that kind of brings us to another question that Dr. Darko raises.
Okay.
What exactly is the prize that Paul's striving for?
Right.
Is it simply about getting to heaven and escaping hell?
Right.
Or is there something more to it? Something deeper.
Yeah. And this is where it gets really interesting because Dr. Darko doesn't give us a definitive answer.
He leaves us wrestling with it.
He does.
You know, he makes us think about what it really means to win.
Right. In the Christian life.
In the Christian life. Exactly.
It challenges us to go beyond just a surface love and understanding of salvation and to really think about what does it mean to have a relationship with Christ?
Yes. What does it mean to be fully united with him?
What does it mean to experience that fullness, that love, that presence?
It's profound.
It's almost like he's inviting us to redefine success.
Yeah.
Not in terms of what the world says.
Right.
You know, achievements, material possessions.
No, not those things.
But in terms of spiritual growth, mm-hmm. intimacy with Christ.
Yeah.
Transformation of our hearts.
That's what it's all about.
And that brings us back to this idea of boasting in Christ.
Yeah, it does.
If we're going to boast in anything,
yeah.
let it be in the transformative power of his grace, the unshakable hope we have in him,
yes,
and that eternal inheritance that awaits us.
It's about pursuing something so much more lasting.
Yes.
So much more satisfying.
And anything this world has to offer.
Than anything this world has to offer. And that pursuit, you know,
yeah.
it requires a fundamental shift in our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it requires us to embrace that heavenly mindset that we talked about.
Right. To see the world through God's eyes.
Through God's eyes.
And to live in light of eternity.
Because when we do that, you know,
yeah.
when we prioritize the things that God values, our whole perspective changes.
It does.
You know, we find ourselves boasting not in our own accomplishments,
right.
but in the amazing things that Christ has done for us.
And that kind of boasting
yeah.
that flows from a heart overflowing with gratitude,
mm-hmm.
love for Christ,
yeah.
that's the kind that truly honors God.
Yes.
And points others to him.
Absolutely.
So we've been talking about this whole idea of boasting in Christ.
Right.
And how it really challenges us to rethink our priorities and our values.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one thing to kind of grasp the concept in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to actually live it out.
Absolutely.
So how do we actually take this idea of boasting in Christ
yeah.
and make it practical, make it real in our everyday lives?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right?
It is.
And Dr. Darko really challenges us mm-hmm. to think about how we might boast in Christ in our interactions with others.
So it's not just a private thing.
Right.
It's not just an internal thing.
No.
It's about letting that inner transformation kind of spill over.
Yeah.
Into our relationships and the way we engage with the world.
Exactly. Think about the people you encounter every day. Your family, your friends, your colleagues, even the strangers you meet on the street.
Right.
What would it look like to interact with them through this lens of boasting in Christ?
It's almost like having this secret weapon.
Yeah.
This deep, unshakable joy
mm-hmm.
and confidence that comes from knowing Christ.
Right.
And then letting it subtly influence how you approach every situation.
I love that it's not about being preachy.
Right.
Or judgmental or trying to force your beliefs on people.
Right.
It's about radiating a genuine love, humility, grace
yeah.
that just points people to the source of your joy.
So it's less about what you say and more about how you live.
Exactly. It's about letting your actions and your words and even your attitude
right.
reflect the transformative power of Christ in your life.
Okay. So can you give us some specific examples? What would that look like practically?
Sure. Imagine approaching challenges with this sense of peace and resilience.
Okay.
Knowing that your true identity is secure in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine responding to difficult people with compassion.
Right.
And understanding, remembering that you too were once lost and now are found.
It's about extending grace to others.
Yeah.
Because you've received it yourself.
Absolutely. It's about living out the gospel in such a compelling way
yeah.
that people just notice.
Right, that there's something different about you.
There's something different. And then when they ask,
yeah,
you can confidently point them to Christ.
The one in whom you boast.
Yes, the one in whom you boast.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive.
It has.
It's not only challenged us to understand the concept of boast in Christ,
mm-hmm.
but to really embody it.
To live it out.
In our daily lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I hope this has sparked some reflection for you too.
Me too.
As you go about your week.
Yeah.
Consider how you might boast in Christ in new and profound ways.
What a powerful challenge.
It is. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
Absolutely.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring,
mm-hmm.
and keep boasting in the one who is worthy of all our praise.
Amen to that.